are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Certainly, that's where you're at, the Adventist World Radio's Maranatha Drive, and we are having a conversation now with our pastor, Mfundisi Katire, wrapping up, in fact, the discussion we've been having this week in our Bible Corner. The fundamental belief says it's the gift of prophecy. Scripture says this is fundamental. Now, when you look at Paul's writing, especially his letter to the Ephesians, he says to them, the gift of prophecy would remain in the church till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Right? That's chapter 4, verse 13. Now, in the book of Revelation, the remnant church in the time of the end is said to have this testimony of Jesus. I think that's something that the pastor has been repeating, right? Passages such as chapter 12, verse 17 would make this clear, which according to 19:10, this gift of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus, is the gift of prophecy. But these days, hey, there seems to be many a so-called prophet on every street corner. How can we tell the real from the fake? You know, can the real prophet please stand up? That's our conversation, and do join us as we discuss this very pertinent matter. And maybe tell us your approach. How do you tell the true from the wrong? Do you then discard everybody because you don't want to be deceived? Or are you able to kind of discern between the true and the false? Talk to us, +27 73 470 3520. If you're watching on TikTok, you can drop a comment in the chat box right there. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon, my brother, and welcome to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Trusting that the Friday is going okay, preparation going all right?
Going well, thank you very much.
Wonderful stuff. Thanks again for joining us in this discussion. As we are wrapping it up, we appreciate your invaluable counsel and just explaining these concepts to us. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. Pastor, today we wanted to find out how we can distinguish between true and false prophets. I think one of the days you were mentioning how Christ himself warns us to say, be careful. In the last days, false prophets are going to arise. And I think these are those days where there's many prophets, like Joel 2 would say, but also many false prophets. How do we then distinguish between these two?
I would want to first start by saying we need to go back to the Word of God for us to be able to distinguish the true prophets from the false prophets. And
okay,
there's a passage that I've been echoing throughout the past 3 days,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. So a true prophet's message must align with the Word of God.
Okay.
A true prophet's message must align with the thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moment someone comes up and say they are a prophet, but the messages that they have, they don't align with a thus says the Lord that is written in the Bible text, then there is a problem. So already that is one way we can be able to distinguish one who is a true prophet from a false prophet. Now, there are other tests that we can be able to conduct. For example, fulfillment of prophecy itself. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, the Bible says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. So if a prophet speaks that the Lord has said this is going to happen, we do have prophets who foretell. So if they are to foretell something and it doesn't come to happen, then it may also mean that they are a false prophet. But
okay,
let us also know that if I am to stand here and I say I'm a prophet and I foretell something and it happens, but the messages that I speak do not align with the Word of God, then it still means I'm a false prophet. So the test is not only on one particular thing, but it comes as a whole. And also, the Bible says in that's Matthew 7, I think verse 16, by their fruits you will know them.
Mm-hmm.
So a true prophet leads people to obedience, to repentance, to godliness. So a true prophet must be able to lead God to all that.
Mm.
Then also, another test that we can add, do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, has come in the flesh and is of God. So they must uplift Christ and not themselves.
Okay.
They must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord. You notice most of the prophets that we have, it is all about them. It seems as if they overshadow Christ. People have to look at them. We know them more than we know Christ. But when it comes to true prophets, they must uplift Christ and not themselves. Then probably lastly, true prophets, they are used by the Holy Spirit to edify the church, not for personal gain, not for showmanship, if there is such a word, but rather it is to edify the church. They must die and Christ must be lifted up. So those are some of the things that we can look at for us to say this is a true prophet and this is not a true prophet. And I can, when we say they need to, their message must align with the word of God, I would also point to say they must keep the Sabbath, because they said, thus says the Lord about that. They must believe in righteousness by faith, because there is a thus says the Lord from that. Yeah. They must not be adulterers. There's a thus says the Lord. So it's a total thing that we need to look at, because a true prophet follows what the word also says.
But Muruti, are you not trying to now push perfection? Are we saying prophets, let me put it as a question, are we saying prophets need to be perfect? Is that the call, that if they are missing any of these points, you now went into character, not just the gift itself? I mean, you were talking about things such as speaking to the truth and to the word and to the testimony, and so forth, which are the principles of prophetic ministry. But now you went to character, if they keep the Sabbath, if they adhering to justification by faith. Aren't those now character issues? If we get a prophet who does not yet believe in the truth of the Sabbath, for example, should I write them off just because they are worshiping on a different day?
Okay, there's a difference between failing to keep the Sabbath and not acknowledging the Sabbath commandment. They have to acknowledge the word of God in totality. They have to acknowledge the word of God in totality. There is a difference between someone who if you remember, Ellen White herself, we spoke about Ellen White yesterday, when she started the Sabbath commandment herself, she was not keeping it.
Exactly.
But as more light came through, she accepted the Sabbath commandment.
Which means so later, it was not in the beginning. When you would ask her on day one, hey, what about the Sabbath? She would say, no, that thing does not exist. And I'm saying that grace for that beginning, how do we acknowledge that?
Now we need to acknowledge something which might be different also in our context.
Okay.
When in prior to 1844, the 5 years or so before 1844, there was no Seventh-day Adventist Church. While the Sabbath, there were people who kept the Sabbath through and through, but there was no institution that called themselves Seventh-day Adventist.
There were Seventh-day Baptists. There were Seventh-day Baptists keeping the Sabbath, Muruti. I'm not talking about Adventists. There wasn't even an Adventist church, so I acknowledge. Let's leave them alone. Let's talk about the Sabbath, because
Yes, the Adventist church as it is now, it was not there totally.
Exactly.
There were people who were keeping the Sabbath.
Yes.
I do agree. The Seventh-day Baptists, I do agree to that. But what I'm saying is Ellen White herself, when she is coming out, she's coming from a Methodist background.
Yes.
She's not keeping the Sabbath. Only later, as people came through, that is when the vision for the Sabbath did not even come through Ellen White.
Mm-hmm.
The vision for the Sabbath came through. Then later it was accepted.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, first of all, they must acknowledge that I believe the Bible in totality.
No, 100%.
That's the first thing. So acknowledgement of believing the Bible in totality, then we can go to the Ten Commandments as well. Now, you may find someone who say, we have a different interpretation of the Sabbath message. Fair and fine, it is true. God can still be able to use them, but God will not leave them outside of the context of the greater truth forever. God will still be able to shine the Sabbath truth to them. So if you are to look at the previous prophets in the Bible, unfortunately, it can be a different context for them, because most of them, they are coming out of Israel. Most of them, their background, actually, they've got a Deuteronomic background of the law and everything. So when they are being called to be prophets already, they know the covenant that Yahweh had with his people. They are not coming out of a vacuum. Now,
true.
When we come back to Ellen White, she was not coming from such a background. She didn't know the Sabbath message, but later accepted it.
Muruti, leave Ellen White alone. Leave Ellen White. My question is more coming to somebody, because you use this as a measure. And I'm saying, if we find a prophet today and they're not keeping a Sabbath, we can't use that as a test, can we? Because perhaps that light has not come to them.
what we can use, maybe I can correct that, what we can use as a test is if they accept the Bible in totality.
No, 100%. And I like how, because we have listeners actually saying, oh, interesting point, which I don't know if you want to hold to that, or you want to maybe explain a bit more what you are meaning. To acknowledge is not to observe. Because what does that mean? I acknowledge, but I don't observe. What's the difference then? What's the purpose of acknowledging?
So there are people who acknowledge the Bible in totality, but they don't practice what the Lord says. I think that's a different aspect, because when they started, when you said we should leave Ellen White, but when they started, they accepted the Bible in totality and they agreed that truth is progressive, revelation is progressive.
Exactly my point.
And God can still speak to us. So they did not have a position. Where
which
they
is
are saying this is,
my
we are
point.
Working fast to this position, it
yes.
will not change.
Which is my point, so Mdara, to say, why do we then want to judge the ones who are there today to say, no, you don't keep the Sabbath? Maybe your prophecy is not coming from God then.
Do they pass the other tests of the prophet?
I was speaking to that to say, I can understand the other tests because those are the core ones. They are speaking about the actual ministry. But these ones are character tests now. These are now saying the prophet, umuntu onjani, what do they understand about what God's word says? And I'm saying that's if you're saying it's progressive, then that's okay.
How would we understand Isaiah 8 verse 20 then? To the law and to the testimony.
How did we understand Isaiah 8 20 with Ellen White in 1844 when the end of the year she gave her first vision and not believing in the Sabbath? How did you accept that?
It was within a context of people who were not keeping the Sabbath.
The same thing. It would be in that very same context that this prophet is rising in the midst of a people who are not keeping the Sabbath. Because I'm not talking that they are coming from the Adventist faith. No. I'm not talking in the limitations of the Adventist faith. I'm talking about someone who is maybe a Sunday worshiper or a Friday keeper or whatever it is, and they receive the word of God and they're not keeping the Sabbath.
Okay, if you speak from that context, it is possible that God can raise someone who can speak to those people who is not within the faith, but ultimately...
No, they're in the faith, Muruti. They're in their faith, not your faith. They've got their own faith that they're in.
I do agree. But ultimately, remember, the Spirit convicts us to be able to follow the truth.
100%. So, I don't deny.
So ultimately, you cannot be as a prophet, remain there without following the truth. And
the challenge
is we
don't know.
Commandment.
The challenge is we don't know when that truth will arrive. Just like in 1844, they didn't know the Sabbath commandment. Come 1850, they most likely had still not received. I mean, we had people who were chewing tobacco in the 1850s, 60s, Mruti. That truth had not come.
True,
so what
I
I'm
agree.
Trying to just say is, how do we judge us? Because you're saying you will receive it in a time, and I agree. But I'm saying, how do we judge to say when that time is? Because maybe they could be speaking today. That truth will come 15 years from today.
No, I do agree from your point. I do agree from your point, from a standpoint that we may be able to have people who are out there who are not Sabbath keepers, whom God can be able to speak to. Remember, also the Bible says, "I do have my sheep that are outside there." But when the time is right, they'll actually come back in. They'll come into the crow. So it is very much possible that we may have a non-keeping Sabbath. Outside there, whom God speaks to them. So necessarily, you don't need to be Adventist. God can be able to speak to you, even if you are not Adventist. Let's be careful and look at all other tests and not only focus on one.
Okay. Can I then ask it like this, maybe, Pastor, as we maybe move from this point? Thank you for the clarity. To say, what then should be the measure if it's not observance in totality? But rather than acknowledging us, what then should be the actual measure of if this prophet is true? Is it a refusal? Because I'm trying to say, if I am not yet, I don't have yet the light of the Sabbath, for example, since it's what we're discussing. If I blatantly say never in my life, I don't even want to give room for light to come. Can I still be a true prophet when I am already so antagonistic against God's word? Or if I am to be a true prophet, I leave room. I can say, no, today I don't believe in the Sabbath. But if God is to show me that the Sabbath is truth, I will be willing to follow. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to ask. I'm not sure if I'm bringing it out clearly.
There's a point that I made earlier that says revelation is progressive. And that's why as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, actually Ellen White, I can't quote the actual text, but she says in the last days new light will come, but when it comes, it should be thoroughly tested.
So what it means is what we had, the reason why we have more fundamental beliefs today than we had 25 years ago, it is because revelation has been progressive. So I do believe that if it is a prophet who is open to revelation and God speaking to them, if today God comes and says the Sabbath commandment, they will follow that. Before then, possibly they may not follow it before they can be able to get that particular revelation.
But they are willing to do it. It's almost like the thief on the cross, right?
But they are willing to do that, yes.
Yeah, it's like the thief on the cross, that even though he didn't get baptized, but if he had gotten an opportunity, he was willing to do whatever Christ would put on his path. Vurisi, I want us to also look at that point. I was speaking about prophets coming through from elsewhere to say, there are people who speak of, be it predictions. You said one of the job descriptions of a prophet is prediction, and they've got authoritative voices in our communities. And I want to ask what the distinction is between a prophet, a seer, Sangoma, truth teller, Tsikamtanda, you know, all those people who do things in our midst. What would be the difference? Are they coming? Are they basically the same WhatsApp group, just different offices or different institutions?
So I would think that is about the source of revelation.
Okay, okay.
I think that is about the source.
Ooh. Mfundisi? Okay, we lost our guest there. Let's see if we can try reconnecting Mfundisi Katerere. We are chatting to the pastor regarding matters pertaining to prophecy and how to see the true, and to know the difference as well. When you look at prophets and those who are, how should I put it, who are seers in our spaces, who are sangomas in our spaces, who are witch doctors and soothsayers. Why, how do you differentiate? Because it almost looks like it's the same WhatsApp group, same office. What then is the actual difference? And does it matter who we then listen to? If it's just like an accountant from this firm and that firm, they're both accountants, but just different companies that they are representing. Yes, we have the pastor back. Mfundisi, do you have you back?
Yes, please. Sorry, I don't know how I dropped off.
Not a problem.
So I was saying it's also about the source of the revelation.
Okay.
The source of the revelation, that's where probably the major difference exists. So biblical prophets, they speak through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
They testify of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and him being our Redeemer. But when you look at sangomas, spiritual seers, they often derive their insights from ancestral spirits.
Mm.
And most of them, they are clear about it. It's not like something that they hide. They get their powers from the ancestral spirits, divination or any other supernatural means at times.
Mm-hmm.
At times, they can tell you that the power that I have, I get it from the sea. I get it from this.
Mm.
So it's about this thought. Mm. It's about the source where we get. You can read Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 to 12. We can see some of the sources of divination, and the like. But also, sangomas, they operate within the framework of traditional spirituality.
Okay.
They involve rituals, and most of them, they contradict a proper "Thus says the Lord." But when you look at prophets, they are servants of the living God. They call people to righteousness. They get their power from the Holy Spirit, and they testify of the goodness of God. So there is a clear instruction. There shall not be found among you a witch, a wizard, a consulter of unfamiliar spirits. Now, when you talk about these unfamiliar spirits, that's the source that we are talking about.
Okay.
So if the source is not the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Now, the only problem probably someone would ask is, now, what's the meter that we use to gauge whether the source is the Holy Spirit or the source is otherwise?
By their
fruits, we shall know them.
At times,
you may not be able to see it clearly face to face, but their fruits, you will be able to see them. So if you are to look at the fruits of the Spirit, then those fruits are going to be able to tell us that, no, this is actually coming from God, or this is actually coming from the evil one.
Profound. And I like that distinguisher that you're giving, Pastor, to say, let's test by their fruits, so let's test the Spirit, so that we can see where it's coming from. But one would also ask, and I want to add to the to compound the question you're putting across, to say, what in this pool of seers, how do you distinguish? To say, here's a question now. And I want to use the example I gave earlier, and I don't know if it's a bad example, Pastor, you will guide, to say you've got accountants. One is representing a company A, one is coming from company B. But at the end of the day, when they come to do my books balance, must it then be something I bother about to say which company they're coming from? I'm trying to say the source. You're saying, yeah, one is from the sea and they're acknowledging we are from the sea or from the ancestral spirits or from the whatever, whatever. But at the end of the day, when they come and deal with my issues are addressed. Must it then worry me what the source is?
I think we should be worried about the source, because remember, this man comes clad as if he is a sheep. When actual fact, he is a wolf.
No, but Pastor. He's told us his power is from the sea.
Yes, he has told us that the power is from the sea. So already that is at loggerheads with God. Remember, there's a spiritual battle that is already happening between good and evil, between the evil one and the God himself. So our alignment today, the human heart is the battleground. Our alignment by us choosing to follow or to be on the side of the ones getting their power from the sea. Mm-hmm. We've already chosen our allegiance. So even in the last days when Jesus is going to come, it's going to be easy for him to pick those who believe in him, because those who have his allegiance, they are the ones that belong to him. So we do pick these things even from small issues, small things that we choose today. So we can't say the evil spirit is going to heal me. Mm-hmm. So it's the same as the spirit of God that can be able to heal me again. The devil can dangle some sweets in front of us, okay, in order to win our hearts. And we will take those sweets, but in actual fact, he is winning our hearts at the end of it.
So we must be wary about where then our allegiance falls to when we are done with that.
Yes, please.
Okay, fascinating, fascinating. Thank you so much for that. Hey, our time is out. But I wanted to wrap up, Pastor. But I think this last one I wanted to touch on, you did touch on during the week. Maybe let me give you an opportunity, Pastor, to just sum it up, maybe in a minute or two, our study on the gift of prophecy, what you'd want to leave with our listeners, our viewers this afternoon. What would that be?
I would say the remnant church, one of the signs of the remnant church, it is the spirit of prophecy. As the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do believe that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon his sons and his daughters. They'll prophesy and they'll dream dreams. And such gift has already been shown in the life of Ellen G. White. And we do believe that she might not be the last one. If need be, God will be able to raise even more prophets in these last mm-hmm. in these last days. We do believe her writings, they are inspired. They're inspired by God, and as she says herself, they are a lesser light that is leading to the greater light, which is the Word of God itself. So the Bible is to be our rule of faith and doctrine. The testimonies, her writings, are not to take place of that word. And she mentions that in letter 12 in the testimonies written in 1890. So it is clear for us to understand that in these last days, God will still speak. But also in these last days, let us also be weary to check and listen to the voice of God, not a distorted voice that does not belong to God. Because even the evil one is trying to speak like God, and he will actually remove many from the faith. So in conclusion, I just want to say, let us be careful in these last days. Let us remain steadfast until Jesus comes.
Amen. That is what is needed right at the scripture. I think it is the book of Revelation. It says, hey, it's the one who overcomes, the one who endures until the end, who receives the prize. And we need to do that, the holding on part. Pastor Katerere, thank you so much for taking us through the study this week. May God bless you. May he continue to minister to you, to enlarge your territory and to bless your family.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Mvurisi Katerere talking to us this afternoon as we conclude our series this week. We've been looking at this fundamental belief, the gift of prophecy, and we've been really going at it, trying to understand what it actually means and how it applies in our day and age. And I think today's study, very, very critical, that you need to understand how to differentiate between the true and the false. Christ warns, be careful in the last days, false prophets will come.
part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.